welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast. If you love tennis and want to improve your game, this podcast is for you. Whether it's technique, strategy, equipment, or the mental game, tennis professional Ian Westerman is here to make you a better player. And now, here's Ian.
Hi, and welcome to the Essential Tennis Podcast, episode number 28. Thanks very much for joining me today. Well, it's been a roller coaster ride of a U.S. Open this year. I don't know about you guys, but I've really enjoyed every day of it. And it's been very entertaining. It's been great to see some new players out there on the tour making a splash and being successful. Last night on Sunday, I watched most of the women's final, and it was good to see Serena win. I think that was probably the highest quality match I can remember her playing. Typically, she's kind of an all-or-nothing style player, very flat from the baseline, obviously very aggressive. But last night, I thought she did a lot of different things well. She was aggressive, of course, as usual, and she did a good job of that. And Yankovic really made her work for it. And so Serena had to, I think, do more movement than normal against her typical opponent. Jankovic didn't just fold under the pressure and make errors given the amount of pace that Serena was giving her. And it was a good fight back and forth. I enjoyed watching it. Now, Murray and Nadal was also entertaining. And quite honestly, I was very surprised that Murray was able to keep up the level of intensity and competition that he did the day before they got rained out. I was kind of expecting Nadal to come back there and at least make it five sets, if not actually come back and win the match, because I think Murray's playing the best tennis of his life right now and wasn't really fully expecting him to be able to keep it up, but he really did. Nadal did not give it to him. I think Murray really earned it by playing some exceptional tennis. Just good attacking and moving forwards, really putting the pressure on Nadal. And really, I can't remember the last time I saw Nadal that defensive looking. Certainly, he was still able to hit some big shots and dictate points as well. But Murray was not intimidated by the spin and the pace that Nadal is able to generate. And he gave it right back to him. And so I thought that was a great match, and Murray, I think, really earned it, and he deserved the win. And if he can keep that up tonight against Federer, I think he's got a great shot of winning. Roger obviously is capable of amazing things, but we haven't seen much of that this year. So I wouldn't really be surprised at all if Murray comes out and actually wins the match. Granted, you know, there's a certain amount of pressure, obviously. It's his first major final, so I wouldn't be surprised, on the other hand, if he comes out a little bit tight and Roger, with all of his experience, is able to capitalize on that. But we'll see what happens. It's kind of the underdog playing the best tennis of his life versus the more of a seasoned player trying to come back from a slump. So a lot of different things at play there, and I'm looking forward to the match a great deal. Well, let's get on to the content for today. We're going to talk about a couple different topics. I'm going to address a question I got from a listener a couple weeks ago regarding the age of professional players. We're going to talk about playing in your first tournament, and if you haven't gone and played an actual USTA or other organized, sanctioned, you know, real business tournament, you need to listen to this and hear what I had to say to another listener as well. And if we have time, I'm going to have the focus topic of the week be slice, using backspin in your tennis. So those are our topics for today. Make yourself comfortable and get ready for some good tennis talk and instruction.
And now it's time for Essential Tennis Q&A.
All right. Let's get going and answer our first question. First up is a question from Brian in California, and he asked me this question a couple weeks ago, and I've been kind of putting it off until I have some extra time in a podcast. And he asked the question saying, why do you think There are very few older pros out there. It seems like 35 is pretty much it, with rare exception. Well, Brian, I want to answer that question for everybody to hear, because I think it's important that we really give the professional players out there all the respect they deserve. It's really extremely hard physically to compete at that level of tennis. And they make it look easy on TV. And the more you play and the more experienced you become, the more and more you realize how much it takes physically and mentally and any other aspect of the game as well. It just takes an extremely high level of play in all respects and all regards to play at the level that the pros do that we see on TV. Like a lot of kids, you know, growing up, I had aspirations of, who knows, maybe making it pro someday, yada, yada. And the more experienced I get, the more I teach, and the more I meet people who have been around tennis for a long time and who tried to make it themselves, the more I realize how hard it is. It's extremely difficult, and you really have to be an elite athlete and just extremely talented to have any shot at all. The more and more the modern game of tennis has evolved, and the more it becomes about power and about spin, the more acceleration the game requires to compete at the highest level. Each year, somebody else comes out and figures out a way to put a little bit more efforts, a little bit more acceleration into their swing, kind of like Rafael Nadal did the past couple years. And before him, I'm sorry, Rafael Nadal over the past year has really been the person to beat. He's come in with his heavy, heavy topspin, and he's been giving people a hard time for this entire year of tennis. Before then, it was Roger Federer, and he was the person to beat. He made kind of easy power, and he's such a gifted athlete. And players like that make it look relatively easy, but make no mistake about it, they're putting huge amounts of effort into every swing. And I mean every swing. When they wind up and take a swing at a forehand, there's not a muscle group that's not being used. Ground strokes and serves and overheads use every major muscle group. And when you do that over and over and over the course of 2 or 3, sometimes 4 hours at a time, it takes huge stamina, and it takes really incredible physical conditioning. And so when you do this over an entire lifetime, because really the guys that you see on TV, they've all been playing since they were little kids. I'm talking like 6, 7, 8 years old. They've been playing since then, and they've been putting their bodies through tons of conditioning and working out and practicing. And when you do that for 20 years, it just takes a big toll on your body. There's just no way around it. And so it's only a matter of time until the body starts to kind of break down. And so when you take an event like the U.S. Open, for example, or any of the other majors where it's 2 weeks long and the winner has to play 7 matches, and you're talking for the men, somewhere around 3 hours for each match. So they're out there for 20 hours over those 2 weeks. And again, making full effort and making huge acceleration with their entire body for 20 hours over 2 weeks. That's just a lot of toll on the body. It takes its toll over time. I was at the U.S. Open 2 years ago and was lucky enough to see Andre Agassi's last match. And I remember hearing stories about him. I think he was 35 or 36 at the time when he retired that year. And I remember hearing about after each of his matches, and he played some tough matches in that Open. He played a big match against Baghdatis the round before that I saw, his last match against Benjamin Becker. But at 35 or 36, he was leaving the matches, and I'm not talking about going and putting ice on your body. He was having to go to the hospital to get cortisone shots in his arm and in his back to reduce the swelling so that he could play a day or two later. and he was getting fluid replacement done at the hospital intravenously. So, I mean, his body was just starting to shut down. He just couldn't do it anymore. He couldn't any longer keep up at the level he had to in order to be competitive. He had just done it enough times and broken his body down enough times, and it just doesn't recover after a while. And that's just it, Brian. It's just that hard. It really is. You got to have a lot of respect for these guys who do it for a living and at that level of play. The last thing I'll say, just to put things into perspective, Brian here is, I think he put down he's a 2.5 player. I've answered a couple other questions for Brian as well. And as an example, Brian, of yourself, as a 2.5 player, if you were to play against a 4.0 player in a competitive match, you wouldn't be able, at several levels above you, you wouldn't really be able to handle the amount of pace and spin that player would put on the ball. They would be accelerating at, you know, a reasonably higher level than what you're used to, and it would just be too tough. That's just the reality of it. Somebody who has got that much more experience and skill at the game would just kind of overpower you. I'm about a 5.0 player. If I played that 4.0 player, I would do the same thing to them. I would pretty easily overpower them without much trouble at all. They wouldn't be used to the depth or the pace or the spin that I would hit my shots at. And then when you move on past myself being a 5.0 player, there's still a lot of levels above me, several levels. One of my coworkers used to play professionally for 2 or 3 years. He made it out there on the tour. And I think the highest ranking he was able to obtain was something around 500 or 600 in the world in singles, which is respectable. He went out there, he gave it his best shot, and he got ranked in the world. Most players don't achieve that. If he and I played, he would crush me. Honestly, yeah. I mean, the amount of power and spin that he puts on the ball on a consistent basis is something I can't really deal with. I don't really have anything to reply with. I could come up with a good shot here and there, and I could maybe get a game here and there, but he would beat me pretty easily. And then when you consider that him being 600 in the world, if he played the 400 guy, he would get beaten just as badly. The 400 guy gets beaten by the 200 guy just as badly, and so on and so forth. There's so many different levels of play, and there's so many different layers. By the time you get to the top, those guys are just playing at an incredible pace, and it's just hard to keep that up. So that's it for my answer there. I don't want to go on and on with that too much. But when you guys are watching on TV, the U.S. Open and any major tournament, any professional tournament, these guys are really amazing athletes, and they don't get enough credit. It's not kind of a, quote, mainstream sport where everybody thinks in America basketball players and football players are kind of the big sports where if you're a professional athlete in football, you must be really ridiculous. But tennis athletes need to be given the same amount of respect, if not more. They're in amazing condition. They're out there all on their own, and you really have to earn everything you get. And that's it. That's why it's tough to go anything past 30. For Agassi to make it to 35 or 36 was really a huge feat. It was just for the love of the game that he made it that long.
The Essential Tennis Podcast is brought to you by
Bridgewater Medical Group. Is a multi-specialty medical group located in Bridgewater, New Jersey, and is your home for primary care, gastroenterology, sports medicine, and general internal medicine. They offer a broad array of on-site, state-of-the-art services to make your healthcare experience more pleasurable. Scheduled appointments are preferred, but physician assistants are available for walk-in care. For more information, call Bridgewater Medical Group at 908-722-0808.
For more information on sponsors of the Essential Tennis Podcast or to become a sponsor, visit www.essentialtennis.com.
All right. right. Our next question here on the podcast comes to us from Ryan, and he contacted me, I think middle of this last week, and he had a question about playing in his first tournament. He is 13 years old, and he's just been taking lessons since about the spring. So just for a couple months this year, he's been taking lessons and starting to take it a little bit more seriously. And he entered his first tournament, which was this past weekend. And he was a little bit concerned because he found out that he was playing the number one seed in the first round of his first tournament. So obviously he was feeling a little bit nervous about that and asked me for advice. And so I'd like to talk about that a little bit today. I'm always encouraging my students to get out and play actual competition as much as possible. If you really want to take it seriously and you want to become as good as possible, playing in real, sanctioned, organized competition and tournaments is such a good way to build your confidence and build your experience. And you get yourself out there all on your own, and you really find out what you're made of. And not only do you find out what you're made of, but you get to see what other players around your level are doing as well. And if you get beat, you find out very quickly exactly what you have to improve in order to get up to that next level. And those are all things that you can't really learn just going out on the practice court by yourself or just going out with your friends who you've been playing with for months or years, and everybody knows everybody, and you're just kind of comfortable. So getting out and playing in real competition is really a big step for any player to kind of put a little bit of extra commitment to their game and, you know, putting out that extra effort to really put yourself out there and go to the next level and take the next step. So I'm going to go through a couple of points here that I want you all to understand, and I made all of these things clear to Ryan as well before he went out there and played his first match. First of all, understand that going out and playing in competition, and I'm talking about a USTA tournament, it's all about experience, especially your first couple of times. Please do not think that your only purpose for going out there is to win. That is not the case. As I laid out just a second ago, you're going out there for experience. You want to see where you stand with other players within your own level and even above and below your own level. You need to get out there and see exactly where you are in the grand scheme of things as far as tennis is concerned as a whole. So you'll find out very quickly what your weaknesses are, what your strengths are, and what you need to improve on to get to the next level. You need to be made aware of where you are with your game. If you keep yourself in your own little bubble, like I said a second ago as well, just playing with the same people over and over and playing at the same club, the same courts, and you don't ever get outside of your little sphere of tennis and see the rest of the world, you'll get kind of stuck in a rut. And I don't want that to happen to you. Going out and playing in a real tournament is very, very different from just playing with your friends or your practice partners. It's serious, it's no mercy, and it's the real deal. Your first couple of times you go out, I just said it's not to win, it's for experience, but the people who go out and do this on a regular basis, they are there to win, and they're not messing around. And so it's a totally different feel from what you're used to if you haven't gone out and played tournaments before. So it's something that is going to be good for you. It's going to build tennis character. It's going to make you a stronger player out there on the courts. Now, if you haven't played much before, understand something, and I'm not saying this to be a downer or to badmouth any of your guys' games. You're supposed to lose. All right. Understand that you will lose when you go out there and play your first couple of tournaments. You don't feel like you have any pressure to go out there and win right away. A lot of the other players that you're going to play have been playing. They've been doing this for a while. They've played a lot of different tournaments. Some of them have even traveled around to different areas to play tournaments at different clubs, and they already have experience in this. And it's something that they've devoted more time and energy to. So you're going to play people that have taken it more seriously than you have in the past. And so your first time going in there, or even your first couple of times, understand that it's not a bad thing to lose. You're there for the experience. And if you go in there and get beat, it's no problem. Be thankful that you had the opportunity to go out there and compete with somebody that may have been a lot better than you. It's a good learning experience. And don't think that you're any less of a person or any less of a player. Every player goes through defeats. It's another very important thing to get in your head. Everybody loses. It doesn't matter how good you are. You're going to get beat sooner or later in tennis. And to a certain extent, the sooner you get out there and get the losing over with, the easier it is to build your game up, get the experience, and start to win. But until you go out and actually start to do this and play these tournaments, you won't just go out there and win your first time. It takes experience and it takes time, and you got to go out there and do it at least a couple of times. Now, also understand in going out for your first tournament, or and this is going to vary from person to person, you're going to be nervous, and that's totally normal. Don't feel bad or think that good players don't get nervous if you have a little bit of anxiety. It's completely normal, and everybody deals with it to a certain extent. And some people deal with it more than others. This is something that I personally dealt with quite a bit when I was younger. And over the years, I've learned to use the nerves and deal with them a little bit easier. But it's something that everybody has to deal with sooner or later. That person that you might have to play in the first round, who's the number one seed, you don't know what's going through his or her head. This might be the first time that he or she has been seeded number one, and there's pressure on that person to have to win not only the match that you're about to play with them, but they're supposed to win the entire tournament. Think about that. All these people have come out to this club and these courts from all around the area. They're coming to play a tournament and play as hard as they can, and this person who's seeded number one, they're expected to win the whole thing. They've been... people are betting on them to win the whole thing because of past performance on their part. And that's a lot of pressure for that person to feel. So being the unseeded player who's coming in first round and it's your first tournament, that kind of thing, for you to be nervous as well, sure, don't worry about it if it's your first time. Through experience, you'll learn how to actually use those nerves to keep yourself sharp and focused. It's good that you're nervous. It means that it matters to you. You're out there and you want to win. You want to play well. And to have somebody staring back at you from across the other side of the court, yeah, that can be a little bit intimidating. So just understand everybody deals with it. And it's something that you learn to deal with better the more and more you experience match play. This is why getting out there as soon as possible is the best thing to do. Next up, I just have two more points here. The vast majority of sanctioned tournaments will have a back draw. They'll have a consolation draw, which means that you're going to get at least two matches no matter what. So don't feel like going out there in the first round, it's all or nothing, and you have to win this match or else you go home with your tail between your legs. That's not the case. You're going to get a back draw match as well. So, and really, understand that tournament directors and the clubs that are putting these events on, they want you to get experience too. That's why they have these back draws. If all they were worried about was the people who win every time, there wouldn't be a back draw. So they're trying to help you out by getting you as much experience as possible, by giving you an extra chance to get out there and play a couple more matches. So you basically get put into your own separate tournament draw for all the people who lose in the first round. And that's a great way to get some more experience, even if you get beat in the first round after drawing that number one seeded player. All right, my last point here is that tennis is a sport for your entire life, and you have your whole life to experience match play. So the sooner you get out there and start to do this, the more comfortable you'll be, and the more your game will improve. If you're not super motivated to be the best player you can be, then, you know, don't worry about it. You can stay with who you're comfortable with, and you don't have to put a lot of time into your technique and into your strategy. You can just do whatever's convenient. But because you're listening to my podcast, I get the feeling that you are motivated to be the best player possible. And so let me encourage you to get out there and play in real competition as soon as possible. You've got the rest of your life to get used to it and get comfortable with it and enjoy it. And guys, once you've been out there a couple of times and you've played in competition with people watching, and you start improving your game and you build some momentum, it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun to have people watch you and to go out there and play a good match. And people, you know, to have people tell you, hey, good match, I enjoyed watching you play afterwards. That's very rewarding. I want you guys to experience that as well. So let me try to kick you in the butt a little bit. If you haven't been out there to play a tournament already, sign up for one. Even if you're a 2.0 player or a 2.5 player, there's tournaments every weekend in most major cities anyway. There's tournaments every weekend for just about every skill and ability level in the NTRP rating scale. So it doesn't matter how green you are. It doesn't matter how little you've played before. There's lots of tournaments that will fit you. And the sooner you get out there and start to do it and experience it, the more rounded and better of a player you'll become. So get out there and play as soon as possible and as much as possible. I wish that as a kid, I would have gotten out there more and competed more. It's something that I didn't do enough. And as a result, in my high school and in my college play, I had mental problems and I had issues I had to work through because I didn't have a lot of experience playing in competition before. So the sooner you get it over with, the better of a competitor you'll be and the better tennis you'll play. And of course, that's always my goal. I want you to be the best tennis player possible. And getting out there and playing a tournament for your first time or even your second or third, as much as you can play, the better off you'll be. Okay, that does it for today's Essential Tennis Podcast. Thank you for joining me today. Well, I've been talking about the photo contest that has been running for the last 2 weeks, and that's been going on at the Essential Tennis forums at essentialtennis.com. And today I'm going to announce the winner. And we only had 3 entries, actually. I was hoping for a little bit more participation than that, but the 3 people who did enter, their photos were great, very creative. All 3 of them were completely different and very entertaining photos of themselves listening to the Essential Tennis Podcast. And so I would like to go ahead and award all 3 of them a free set of Strain and a free copy of Mental Tennis by Vic Braden. So John and Charles and Kent, you guys have all won the contest for your participation. And I appreciate you guys being enthusiastic listeners and taking the time to take that creative photo of yourself and post it up there on the forums, along with my photo as well, which wasn't nearly as creative. But anyway, just send me your mailing address, guys, and I'll get your prizes off to you at no cost to you. Thanks very much again for your participation. And everybody else, go over to the forums. It's a great place to talk about tennis and technique and everything else that we discuss here on the Essential Tennis Podcast. On Thursday, we're going to discuss the use of slice, the use of backspin in your tennis game, and we're also going to have a little discussion with Dr. Jack. He's back from vacation. All right, that's it for today, Monday, the 8th of September. Thank you for joining me. Have a great rest of the week until I talk to you on Thursday. Take care and good luck with your tennis.